now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, I'm very pleased to say, joined by a man I've come to admire enormously for his intellect, for his grasp of a whole array of both technical and policy issues, most especially associated with the most critical of our critical infrastructures, the electric grid. He is Tom Popeck, the chairman and president, as well as the co-founder of marvelous organization based up in New Hampshire, the Foundation for Resilient Societies. Its role is to try to help, regulators, policymakers, lawmakers, others of us, including the informal Secure the Grid Coalition, of which Tom Popeck and his team are important parts, to understand the threats to our grid and what it might mean for us if those threats eventuate. Tom Popeck, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. Glad to be here.
This is, of course, a conversation we're having in the immediate backdrop of the shutdown of the Puerto Rico electric grid for a day or two last week. Can you talk a little bit about both what happened, Tom, and what the sort of lessons that the rest of us might learn should a similar kind of enduring blackout take place in parts of the United States on the mainland?
Sure, Frank. First of all, the short story of the Puerto Rico blackout is on Wednesday afternoon, there was a fire at a major generation facility. This caused a cascading blackout through the entire island, which persisted for about 60 hours before restoration. But there's a longer and more interesting backstory, which is, first of all, Puerto Rico and its electric grid are an island, so they can't rely on other areas for resilience of the electric grid as a shock-absorbing kind of thing like we do in the United States where we have these, or I should say the United States mainland, where we have these massive interconnections. They have to rely on themselves for black start.
By which you mean getting things going again once the shutdown has taken place.
That's correct. There's also a financial and a financial aspect to all of this, which is the utility there is government-owned and has had a lot of financial problems, which have bled into maintenance problems for the utility. They've had many, many hundreds of blackouts over the last several years, most of them quite small, but significantly they've had over the past 18 months over 10 blackouts that have been reported to the U.S. Department of Energy as grid disturbance incidents. So it's not that there was just one incident that was an unlucky occurrence. There's a whole pattern of incidents before this blackout occurred.
Tom, as you look at the lessons learned for us in the continental United States, obviously, it's good to have backups is one takeaway. But talk, if you would, a little bit about the vulnerability of our grid to similar kinds of disruption, particularly of a perhaps persistent kind.
Certainly. The major interconnections in the U.S. grid could in the future experience problems like Puerto Rico is experiencing now. The United States is under a lot of financial pressure. There is maintenance that is deferred within the mainland United States. And importantly, we have workforce issues, which means not enough technically trained people to continue maintaining the electric grid. So right now, the grid in the mainland U.S. is much more reliable. But in the future, we have to watch that we don't end up in a situation like Puerto Rico.
You have been very sharply critical, and I think with very good reason. You document all of these issues very exactingly at the Foundation's website. I hope you'll give that to us. But talk, if you would, about the kinds of standards that we've been seeing the FERC, as it's called, develop with respect to cyber and electromagnetic pulse, and now most recently, I guess, this prospect of having to deal with the disruptions that could flow from intense solar storms.
Yes. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission is the federal agency within the United States that is in charge of electric grid reliability and security. However, when Congress established a requirement for regulation of the electric grid, it did something very unusual. It bifurcated the process so that the setting of standards are actually conducted by an industry-controlled body, the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, and then those standards are reviewed and approved by this federal agency. In practice, NERC, as it's called, this industry-dominated body, has produced standards that are very weak. Often they're just paperwork exercises for the utilities to comply with. And a lot of times, the federal agency, FERC, has gone along with these weak standards. Most recently, there was a standard set for solar storm protection by this industry body, NERC. It was reviewed by FERC, and I will say there was a much higher degree of scrutiny given the standard than in past proceedings.
Thanks in no small measure to your efforts, as I recall.
Well, I think into our efforts and the other efforts of other public stakeholders, yes. So there was a lot more scrutiny to the standard, and we can point to some real items of progress, much more disclosure of data required by electric utilities, and also an assertion or a confirmation by FERC that electric utilities cannot avoid all liability just by following a weak standard set by the industry body. So that's on the good side. However, this solar storm standard, which was in fact approved by the federal agency FERC, albeit with a work plan for future improvement, is weak in many, many aspects. And therefore, for the next few years and possibly far into the future, the United States electric grid and its population will not be protected against severe solar storms.
This is a travesty because we know we're overdue for a powerful one, perhaps on the scale of what's known as the Carrington event. Let me turn to one last thing, Tom. One of the specific problems that you've identified at the Foundation for Resilient Societies with the electric grid is its reliance upon the internet for a lot of its functions. We've been talking in the course of the program with others about the appalling idea of surrendering the last vestiges of American control of the internet to so-called multinational or international stakeholders. Just looking at this from the perspective of the critical infrastructure and the implications of what might flow should hostile powers exercise such dominion over this internet. Can you give us your thoughts as to how that might exacerbate some of the vulnerabilities about which you've already expressed concern?
Certainly. Frank, I should start off by saying at Resilient Societies, we're not experts in the internet, and so therefore we don't take a policy position on control of the internet. However, we are experts in electric grid security, and our concern here is that increasingly, electric utilities are using the public internet for operational control of electric grids. For example, to communicate between control centers and electric grid substations or between control centers. Our concern is if electric utilities rely on a system of communication, in other words, the public internet, that is not within the control of United States companies or entities, then that's an enormous national security risk. So if the U.S. doesn't maintain control of the internet and the routing system for the internet, then really we think there should be a prohibition of electric utilities using the internet for any kind of operational control.
Tom Popeck, a very important public policy challenge and one that is made all the more important by the imminent decision as to whether we will surrender this vital control of the internet that we've enjoyed for essentially all these years of since its founding. Tom, again, my hat's off to you for the work you do at the Foundation for Resilient Societies and for joining us from time to time to talk about it. Come back to us again very soon, if you would. Gordon Chang joins us next. We'll talk about the latest developments, his conflict in the offing in the South China Sea, that and more straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.